Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode... Try again. And welcome to episode 69 of Nerd Pride Radio. 69, the number Bill and Ted were thinking of to test their future selves to see if they were really from the future. 69, dudes. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D nerd / Pathfinder nerd. Damn it. A history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, Slartabartfest. Welcome. But no time for any of that. We've got to get right into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, first up... That's right, it's time for a little feedback! Oh, all right. I might have asked this before. I'm reading the notes here. This is a letter from someone, and I'm reading it as if it was my own notes. I'm an idiot. Sorry about that. I'm getting so excited. I've got, before I get started into feedback, I got a lot of stuff today, and it's all little stuff, but there's a lot of it. So I don't know how long it's going to take, but once we get done, we'll fill up the rest of the time with Podomatics, and we'll have a great old time. So my feedback, I'm sorry, this comes from Ronster. And Ronster sent me a bunch of stuff, and he sent me some Podomatic entries, and he sent me some other things. And then this one, it's not really necessarily feedback, it's just a question he's asking me. But I didn't know if it was a Podomatic or if he was just curious. I think he was actually just wondering if I was going to respond to him. But, you know, since he sent it like yesterday and I'm recording like now, well, why not just read it on the podcast? So here's your question. He says, I might have asked this before, but have you ever played anything from Iron Crown Enterprises? I'm still digging through their Lord of the Rings game called MERP. Ever heard of such? Yeah, MERP is Middle-earth role-playing. I have heard of Middle-earth role-playing. I have seen it on the shelves for, I don't know, the last 30 years. How long has that game been out? I mean, it came out in the 80s. It had to have. I've seen it a million times, and it's one, and I think it's, I don't remember what it's, what else does Iron Crown do? Is that based on Rollmaster? Is that, I can't remember for sure. Anyway, I've flipped through the book in the store just to look at it, and the only thing I know about it is it's a fantasy role-playing game based on Middle-earth, based on the Lord of the Rings, and therefore it's going to be very similar to D&D in some aspects, but, you know, more like Middle-earth in others. And I also know that it looked way too complex for me. Not that I can't handle a complex game, but... It's the sort of, obviously, I play Pathfinder, I play Dungeons & Dragons, I play Shadowrun. I've played really complex games and enjoyed the hell out of them. So it's not a matter of that. But what it does have is, if I remember correctly, it's got like percentile systems for stuff. And it just looked way too detailed. I have never, ever liked a percentile system for anything. I've played lots of games that have them, and I've never really enjoyed them to the level I have other games. I don't know if it's because of the system, but whatever, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So things like playing Top Secret, or maybe it was James Bond. I think it was Top Secret had a percentile system for skills. Star Frontiers had your attributes ran on a percentile system. It's the kind of stuff that's just too fine-grained for me. That's too much detail. I honestly don't need a system that requires me to know, you know, the difference between having a 63 in something and having a 66 in something. I mean, come on, isn't it good enough to just say, you know, I've got like a 7 out of 10? Isn't that close enough? I don't know. Anyway, percentile systems have always put me off, so I've never actually tried it. I know it's been around for 30 years. It's been popular enough that they keep putting it back on shelves. And so therefore, you know, it's got a following. People like it, but it's never been one that's for me. I mean, it seemed like a heavy learning curve, a heavy investment for what looked to be, you know, yet another version of Dungeons and Dragons for me. So I can't really judge. I mean, I wouldn't throw it out, you know, as a beginner game for anybody. But if you've got some role playing experience under your belt and you want to give it a shot because you love Lord of the Rings, go for it. Because, you know, Lord of the Rings, especially when it comes to magic, Lord of the Rings has a very different flavor than Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, almost any traditional fantasy role-playing game. Fantasy role-playing games are all very magic-heavy. And I would hope that the Middle-earth role-playing game, I would hope that that is more reflective of the books and therefore, you know, has a much rarer magic feel to it. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, hope that answers your question. It's not something I'm terribly familiar with, but I've seen it. I mean, I know it's around, but yeah, I've just never been interested enough to get into it. All right, enough of that one. Next up, I have got a lot of updates. My first one is, I have no clue where my weight is right now. I know that I put on like half a pound from yesterday and that I'm down, I think, yeah, I'm down from the weekend. I think I'm about where I was last weekend, or last week when I recorded. I think I'm, or maybe I'm down 1 pound. I'm not sure. Either way, it hasn't been a bad week. It hasn't been a great week, but it hasn't been a bad week. So I'm getting better. My self-control is coming back. I had a couple of bad weeks where I felt terrible about it, but it's doing better. Don't need to worry about it. Oh, no, because more important than that, snake! Oh, I told you I was going to stop doing snake updates unless something really important happened. And two really important things happened. One, I beat my old high score. My old high score was 1316, I believe. And now my new high score is 1365 for Snake. And the other thing that did for me, and this is really upsetting to me, is that it showed me that, okay, once I had 1365, the number of gaps in my pattern were there was a small enough number of empty spaces that I could easily count them up and go, okay, how many would it take to fill up the rest of this board? And I realized that it's not an 11 by 19 board as I originally described to you guys. It's an 11 by 20 board. It is 20 squares wide. Somewhere I got my count off when I counted them up earlier. And so, oh, holy crap. That means that instead of the high score being 1400, as I previously thought, the high score is now 1477 would be the new high score. And so therefore, it also means that since there's an even number in it, it means I can have a perfect game. It is conceivable that if I play this board correctly, I could come up with a perfect game. I can fill every possible square, and that means I kind of have to keep trying. Obviously, I've been trying, but now I'm going to have to try a little more. And I'm not going to keep updating you unless I actually beat 1365, because there's the simplest way to get this high score would be for me to learn to do the up and down stripe pattern instead of back and forth, vertical as opposed to horizontal, if you want to use those fancy college words. And I can't master that one. There's a gap in it, and I cannot master that vertical stripe pattern. It's killing me. But anyway, that's my snake update. Sphere Ensemble. Hey, did I tell you guys about Sphere Ensemble last week? You know I did. Sphere Ensemble is an all-string band, 13 members. My friend Dave is on there, Dave, who is Alihad from our boards. And Dave is awesome. His wife is also in the band. She is awesome. And their music is incredible. So, once again, repeat of last week, go to YouTube and look up Sphere Ensemble on YouTube and listen to anything and everything that you can find by them and enjoy their music. Hold on 2 seconds while I go see what the dogs are running around about. Oh, now I feel bad. they're wrestling around the other room. I don't know if you guys could hear them, but they're wrestling around in the other room, and there's just pitter-patter and slamming against things, and I didn't know if they were tearing apart the garbage. I didn't know what they were doing. And I went in and I looked at them and I went, "What? What are you doing?" And they just both looked at me with such sad eyes, and I realized that, oh, they were just wrestling. They were just playing. They weren't even hurting anything. Now I feel really bad. So I had to pet them for a while and make them feel better. So I hope I didn't break them, because they were just being sweet. So anyway, listen to Sphere Ensemble, enjoy their music, and then if you haven't already and you like their music, go over to their Kickstarter. I've got links to it on my boards. Go over to their Kickstarter and throw in some money. Now, here's the trick. Thanks to you guys and a bunch of other people, people who appreciate good music, they are fully funded on their Kickstarter. They got their $7,500, and in fact, I think they're a couple hundred over that, and they're doing really well, and they've got 3 weeks left to go. So why should you go contribute? Well, one, because you want to get that music, because it's awesome, but two, because in supporting them, supporting independent music, supporting classical music, supporting eclectic sound, and supporting, this is good stuff, and $7,500 was their bare minimum. This is, I mean, they're thrilled. You should see Dave jumping up and down on the boards. He's just ecstatic. He's over the moon about this. It's wonderful for them because they're actually going to get to record their album. But here's the deal. $7,500 for their Kickstarter was the minimum that they needed to just get in there and do it. It doesn't cover all their costs. All right. They estimate it actually takes about $10,000 for them to break even on this thing. So we're talking about, they're coming up a little bit short knowing that they're going to lose some money on this, but at least this way they'll get their album out there, and it's worth it to them to lose a little bit of money just to get it done. And this is the start of things for them, which is awesome. But it also means that, look, if you keep contributing, if they can hit 10,000, they break even. That's awesome. If they can be 10,000, you mean they could actually make a little bit of money to divide between 13 of them? That would be even awesomer. So help them out. Do this. And do it for selfish reasons, because you want good music and you want the pride of being able to show it off to other people and make yourself feel superior to them because you have something they don't. You're in on ground floor on something that they've never even heard of. This is amazing. This is a great hipster opportunity for you. Don't miss out on it. There was one more point I was going to make about that. Did I put it in my notes? Did I say anything? Nah, I have no idea. I don't know what it was. Anyway, because Dave at some point had mentioned that, oh my God, if we actually get funded, we're going to have to start thinking about stretch goals. Because, you know, once you exceed your initial goal on Kickstarter, traditionally people come up with stretch goals for, well, if you can give us this much money, then we'll do this for you. To me, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even think they need any stretch goals at this point. I was going to go over and give them crap about that and talk about, hey, where's my stretch goals? Come on, you're funded now. What do I get if I give more money? And then I realized that, you know what, I don't even want them to have any stretch goals. I don't think they need it. I mean, at this point, anything over this, they've still got a bunch of costs for, you know, creating their CDs and mailing everything out and mailing out the other premiums that go with it. And there's a lot of stuff involved here. And so therefore, to me, it's like, no, you know, they don't need stretch goals. This is their chance to make a little bit of money. And in fact, they even promised in their Kickstarter that since they work with schools and do educational stuff, they're actually going to give most of the excess to educational projects. I mean, that's how nice they are. Like, if you're donating to their Kickstarter now, you're not only getting this music, not only getting the pride of being involved in it, but you're giving back to education. I can't say enough about this project. Really, really, really go over there. And again, bare minimum, go listen to their stuff and then just see how you feel about it. This is, oh good. See, now the dogs are playing again. So I didn't break them. They're having fun in there. That's all all that matters. So if you guys can hear the dogs thumping around, I'm sorry about that, but they're having a good time. They heard me say dogs. They froze. That's crazy. Okay. But anyway, go listen to their stuff. Just listen to it and appreciate it. Even if you don't contribute, listen to it and enjoy it. Share it with other people. That would be awesome. Cause there are, I don't know how many people from Nerd Pride have contributed, to Sphere Ensemble so far, but as of last count, this is, I'm looking at my watch, by the way, to get my last count. I checked the stats like 3 or 4 days ago, and the last episode I put out has 80 downloads in the first week, which for any other podcast, that, you know, the big name podcast, this is nothing. 80 is piddly garbage. But for me, 80 people who like the podcast enough that they download it in the first week, right? And figuring, you know, maybe there's a couple of double downloads or whatever in there, it's still 60, 70, 80 people. That's a great number, because every summer I lose listeners. And so every summer I take the whole summer off, I lose listeners, I come back, and that first few episodes after I come back, it's only 40 people at a time, 35 people at a time. And it takes me a while, and usually by the end of the season, I build up to 80-ish, and then I wind up taking the summer off, and I'm right back to zero. And so this time, I've built up to 80, like, almost immediately. Like, this is, I mean, I know I've done, like, you know, 10 or 12 episodes since I've come back, so it's actually been a little bit, but I've got a whole, I mean, we're not even to the holidays yet. We've got all the way till the summer to keep doing this and keep building, and then hopefully maybe even through the summer, fingers crossed. But anyway, what that means is there's 80 of you out there, and I want you guys to all go listen. Just go check them out. That's all I want. Let Sphere Ensemble see their numbers on YouTube jumping for no reason that they can possibly discern. That would be awesome. So go do that for them, and if you like it, kick in. All right, I've talked about this one enough. I'm getting all schmaltzy about it. Next update is The Devil is a Part-Timer. I told you last week that I'm watching Devil is a Part-Timer, and that is, at least from the first two episodes, an awesome, awesome anime. It's free streaming on Netflix, and I really, really enjoy it. And now we're up to episode 5, and maybe 6, I don't remember. And it's still awesome. Man, those dogs are happy in there. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, Devil is a Part-Timer is still awesome, and you should still check it out. I don't know if there's 12 or 13 episodes in this first season, but whatever it is, I'm still having a great time. It's gotten even better. So, just to keep you clued in, really like it, check it out. All right, what is up next? Oh, that's right. It's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong, which actually hasn't been all that frequent lately, mostly because I don't admit to my mistakes. But in this particular case, last week, I described the rice in the vents of my car after my wedding and how horrible that was. And I said that it was everybody out there who did it, and my dad was the ringleader. And my brother set me straight. Apparently, after 21 years, I find out that it wasn't all of them. No, it was just Darren. Darren's the asshole. Darren dumped rice in the vents, and everyone else got down on him, and they were upset with him for doing it, and it was all his fault. They had nothing to do with it. Now, that's the story my brother tells, and my brother doesn't lie, so I'll just assume that that's the truth and that I was wrong. So there you go. But what's next? After that, it's time for a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
Yeah, meta talk's where I pull back the curtain, talk about the podcast, the website, stuff like that. And I've already kind of spoiled this one because I already talked about how my numbers are going up and how happy I am about that. And on top of that, we're starting Hero Battle. I told you about Hero Battle last week, and now today, literally today, we're going to put out the first round of it, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm sorry for those, and when I say today, I mean today, Friday, when I'm recording. So those of you who are hearing this on, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whenever I release it, sorry, too late. We've already started. It's too late to join next time, because usually once we do one of these, we usually get on a kick and we'll do two or three in a row before we start to get tired of it. And so you'll have a chance in, you know, maybe 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'll keep you guys posted if we get another one going. But because of Hero Battle, Zombie and Piddix came back. Zombie and Piddix, who were members of the site and then of the Animal Ball site even before that, for years. And they haven't been around for ages, but apparently my brother got on them and said, dudes, Hero Battle, get back in. And so they're back around. And I opened up a separate board on the forums for the Meat Like Trivia podcast. And with all of it going on, I kind of reorganized the look of the board. It flows a little smoother. And so we've been getting a lot of traffic the last few days. It's really, really refreshing. And so nerdpriderradio.com/forums, I tell you guys every week that the best way to communicate with me is to come over to my forums, sign up for an account. You can private message me. You can post out on the boards. I read everything that goes on those boards, and I respond to everybody who wants to talk to me over there. It's an awesome, awesome place, and the community is kind of kicking off again. We've been kind of in a slow space for a while, and I'm hoping this sticks around. Who knows? I could wind up saying this, and now we wind up being dead for the next 3 weeks. Who freaking knows? But if you were thinking about coming over and joining us, because we are a nice community, we're very cool, very reasonable, mostly, now's a good time to do it. Come on over and join us. It's actually really cool. But that's it for that. See, I told you, lots of little stuff this week. Not stuff to dwell on, but a lot of little stuff. Mostly update stuff, really. It's all, everything I'm talking about now is stuff I've talked about before, and I've just got to keep it going. Which means, next one up is the Nerd Pride Book Report. That's right. I accidentally erased my spiel for this one, so I can't remember what I say about books, but I like to read. There, that's good. And this is for, one is my brother's book, Norn's Quest, which I've talked about a zillion times. You should read it. Norn's Quest is a really good book. It is The Norn's Quest by Kyle Jones. You can find it on Amazon. If you're part of their Kindle, whatever it is, thing, then you can read it for free as part of the lending library. Or if you would like to buy it for your Kindle, it's $2.99 for what I assume is like an 800-page book. I can't remember. The thing is friggin' gigantic. And it's only $3 to buy it for your Kindle. Get it. Enjoy it. Or if you don't have a Kindle, go over to Amazon and find, I don't know. Can you order it without a Kindle? Can't remember how Amazon works. Are they all proprietary about that? Maybe, maybe not. Whatever. Go read The Norn's Quest. It's a great book. You want, well, and even if it is proprietary, you can get the Amazon, the reader app for your computer, your laptop, your other devices for, you can read it anywhere. What am I talking about? So, go read that one, because if you read it now, January 1st, he is releasing book 2 of his Norn's trilogy, and book 2 is Motsagnir's Game. Did I get the pronunciation right? Motsagnir? Motsagnir. The spelling, Motsognir, always makes me think of Monsignor, and therefore I want to say it's Motsagnir's Game. And I am so looking forward to this. I don't know where it's going to go from the first book, because you'll have to read the first book. I'm not going to give anything away. But I am so excited to read it. My brother writes really well, and I am incredibly jealous of him, and it's an enjoyable experience. So therefore, go out now and get Norn's Quest if you haven't read it already. Or if you have read it already and it's been a year or two, reread it, because it's that good. And then January 1st, look for Motsagnir's Game. Obviously, look, if there's a change in the release date, if something happens, you know I'm going to bring it to you guys here. So you'll have plenty of warning and plenty of time to go find it. So get on that. But along with that, my brother mentions that his second book is coming out. And someone else on the forums, Daz, who you've heard him on the Podomatics. He's been on the boards for a long time. He's been around. And Daz apparently also wrote a book. And I thought the release date was August of this year. I mean, like, just put it out, I think. Anyway, but Daz wrote a book. And so therefore, again, he's part of our nerd pride. Please support this dude. I've already bought it. It's on my Kindle. I haven't even started reading it yet because I literally bought it last night, because he just told us yesterday. But the name of the book is A Very Irish Curse. It is some sort of mystery that involves historical, archaeological, I don't know what. I started reading the blurb and then realized, oh, wait, I don't like reading blurbs. I don't want to know. It's like watching a trailer that gives away too much. I don't want to know anything about it. All I know is mystery. So A Very Irish Curse by A.D. Graham. So Alpha Delta Graham. And you can get it $6 for your Kindle, $11 paperback. It is available on Amazon. Go buy A Very Irish Curse. Support Nerd Pride. Support our people. I love this. I am so happy lately. This is great. And again, now hold on. If you want to hold out just a little bit, I am going to read the book, and hopefully in 2-3 weeks, I will come back to you and I can tell you, because, you know, Lord knows, what if it sucks? You guys, you know, are you going to wait for my review? Anyway, I'm anticipating enjoying this. But go out and look for the Norn's Quest. Look for A Very Irish Curse. And oh yeah, don't forget to support Sphere Ensemble. Get in there. What else do I got? Let's see. Oh, I actually have something new this time. I have a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. This is wonderful. Mrs. Darks, Sarah Beth is her name, sent me a, because she had a bunch of questions, because I'm going to Gen Con next year, and I'm going to meet up with Dave and with Pat. We're going to have an awesome, awesome time. And so she's trying to talk to me about travel arrangements and this kind of stuff. And as a form of apology, she says, look, I'm sorry to put all this pressure on you, but by way of apology, here's a bunch of new Podomatics, and let me tell you a little story about Neil Patrick Harris. And so I love this story so much that I'm going to read it to you guys. So this is from Mrs. Darks. She says, here is my personal NPH story, which I think you'll really like because it shows how awesome he is. And it does, by the way. All right. From her. I am a customer for a local high school's musical. Oh, customer. Costumer. I'm an idiot. I did that. I've read through this thing like three times. Every time I read through it, I get there and I read customer in my head. And I go, customer, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, costumer. Costumer. Duh. All right. And yet, having done it three times already, I still slipped right past it this time because I'm an idiot. Let me start over and do this thing the justice it deserves. I am so sorry. All right. I am a costumer for a local high school's musical. Our tiny rural area has a pretty decent repertory theater nearby, and they do a little award thing for the local schools called the Pavilion Awards. Think like the Tonys for teens. It's really cute and is supposed to be very encouraging to the kids to go out, to go check out other schools' work and just be a really positive celebration of the theater arts in our schools. It used to always be on Tony night, and they have recently switched to that so that the theater kids can, you know, watch the Tonys. The associate producer of this repertory company, Jim, works in New York City most of the year. A couple years ago, when it was still on Tony night, in between awards, Jim comes out and says, I know it's time for the next set of nominees, but first, I want to read you this text message I just got from a friend of mine that's addressed to all of you. And he proceeds to read this touching, lovely note about how these awards are so important to encourage each other and form a strong community in theater, and how they are the future of the arts. The note then congratulated all the nominees and winners. It's only a few lines long, but it was beautiful, and I was in tears. Then he said who it was from. Yes, Neil Patrick Harris himself, who was hosting the Tony Awards that year. Yeah, he took time backstage from the Tony Awards to text teenage actors and techies in the tiny rural county in upstate New York. That is a class act right there. Such a wonderful man, well worth all the fan base and accolades that he gets. I'm starting to tear up now just reading it. Every time I've read it, I start to tear up because that is just, that's freaking great. I love Neil Patrick Harris. The man is a hero. He is an absolute hero. And this is just a great story. And God, can you guys hear that? Can you hear that in my voice? I'm going to have to get myself collected here. Hold on. I'm going to take a little Diet Dr. Pepper break and collect myself. Hold on. I don't want to talk about it too much more because it's going to make me start to cry. But every time I read it, I picture, my kids are in theater. They do the dramatic arts. They do all of this stuff. And to imagine that at their awards ceremony, they actually get a message from Neil Patrick. I'm imagining if this was my kids. And I mean, it would make their lives. It would be. You can't even imagine the boost that would give. Unbelievable. So anyway, I love that story. Thank you, Sarah Beth, for sharing that with me. I really, really like it. And I'm glad you allowed me to share it on the podcast. I think that is just beautiful. Neil Patrick Harris is awesome. And if you want to talk Neil Patrick Harris at the Tony Awards, if you haven't seen it already, go look at his, it's on YouTube. Search Neil Patrick Harris, Tony Awards, and did his opening number from a couple of years ago where he sings a huge musical number called It's Not Just for Gays Anymore. And it's brilliant comedy. It's wonderful. There's a great backstory that goes with it because he didn't want to release ahead of time what the number was going to be. He didn't want anyone to find out what was going to happen. Because he didn't want it to turn into a huge political statement. It was just meant to be funny. It was just meant to be – it was a funny opening, and it's really, really cute. But he had to take it to the censors, and there's one line in it where it mentions sodomy. And he asked them, and they said, yeah, okay, everything in here is fine. All the gay references, all the jokes, everything here, it's all fine except for the word sodomy. You're going to have to take that out. Find something else. And Neil Patrick Harris supposedly asked them and said, so – theoretically, I mean, we've been rehearsing all week and we've been rehearsing with the sodomy line in it. I mean, we'll take it out. I promise we'll take it out. But theoretically, hypothetically, if I were to slip and accidentally sing sodomy because that's what I've been practicing, what would happen? Oh, well, they'd probably be really, really upset, but, I mean, you know, they're not going to do anything about it. Oh, all right, well, that's good to know. And now you go watch and see which version he sang in the final version. So, anyway, Neil Patrick Harris is awesome. Thank you again, Mrs. Darks. This is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Next up, Roku! Which it's not actually on Roku, but I like using Roku for anything that I watch on TV anymore. It's because I like to say Roku. It makes me happy. Did you hear the news? Did you hear what's coming up? It's actually going to be on the Starz Network. Does that give it away already? The Starz Network, Ash versus the Evil Dead. To which my first thought is, oh, God, they're bringing back the Evil Dead again? What the? Really? I mean, not that. Look, I love the original. I even like Army of Darkness. I like the originals a lot. I like Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi. I like the remake of Evil Dead. I love the remake of Evil Dead. That thing is great. And so I hear that they're doing Ash versus the Evil Dead. It's Ash. Oh my God, is Bruce Campbell coming back? You better believe it. Bruce Campbell's coming back. Bruce Campbell is coming back as Ash. Sam Raimi is in charge of the project and directing. It's going to be on the Starz Network. It's going to be a series, and it's going to be 10 half-hour episodes. Oh, I'm intrigued as all hell. Seriously, even as an aging actor, Bruce Campbell does what he does very well. Bruce Campbells it up better than anybody. All right. Did you watch, Bubba Hotep? Bubba Hotep rocked socks. And that was Bruce Campbell playing even older than he already is. And his aging action hero, Elvis, is phenomenal. Bubba Hotep is so worth your time. And so if he does that, if he has that ability, and this is him coming back as the role that made him Bruce Campbell, the role that made him the B-level, C-level star that he is today, he can Ash, okay? And he can make this work. I have a lot of faith in this because it's stars. It's people doing television that they just want to do for fun. Have you heard Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell in interviews about this? They just want to revisit this story and just do more of it because they had so much fun doing it and they have so many ideas for it. They just want to make it live again. I'm looking forward to it. I anticipate it being really, really fun. So, anyway, Ash versus the Evil Dead. Again, really short, but I got to share that. How can I let that sit? Good Lord. And thus concludes the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. Oh, I can't talk today. It doesn't matter. Podomatic! Sweet. Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. Half the show for me, half the show for you guys. Fair is fair. And before I start, it's an 84, by the way, but before I start, thank you to everyone who's been sending stuff in this week. I got stuff from Daz and Humongous and Ron and Sarah Beth, and I am thrilled. You know what? I asked her if it was okay to call her Sarah Beth, and now I'm not. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I may have to go back to Mrs. Darks. I thought Mrs. Darks was awkward, but I don't know. Either way, I'll play it back and forth. Anyway, I got lots of stuff from them, and they're just trickling. People are sending me like 6 to 10 at a time. It's the perfect size list. It's the kind of stuff that, I mean, they're really thoughtful, really original, and we're not overwhelming the list, and it's a beautiful, beautiful balance. Every week I get down to where it's like, oh God, am I going to have enough next week? And then you guys always come through and you dump a few extras on me. Works out perfectly. Although the people who haven't sent me any recently, just so you know, Zen has sent me a ton of them in the past. Zen, you're down to zero, dude. This is the only reason I brought it up is I'm like, I've got there's a little counter off to the side that gives me numbers for everybody in the list. And Zen, Scree, Jeff Hawes, you guys have all sent me stuff in the past, and yet somehow I've used all of them. I've used everything you've ever given me. And if you sent me something, if you remember, God forbid, remember sending me something 2 years ago and you know I've never used it, then I apologize for losing it. But you three are completely out. Akiva, dude, you're down to one. I don't even know which one it is, but there's one left with your name on it in there. So, Direcat, Talvin, Darks, Eliahad, you guys running low, dudes. Seriously. So, if you guys want to, dash me off 3 or 4 Podomatics, send them in. I love to get them. You guys have been so creative and so wonderful, and it's what makes this section of the show so much fun and so easy to do. I can't tell you. It's almost like cheating. I have half of a podcast that I prepare, and then the other half, literally all I have to do is remember to copy paste them in the list and then hit randomize before I start. And that's all the work I have to do. And then the rest of it is just talking about whatever you guys tell me to. Like I say, it's like cheating, and yet it always comes out to be so much fun. So I really enjoy it. But enough of me wasting your time. Let's get right into number 84. Thank you, R2. And 84 is from Zimny. Zimny says, favorite age you've been so far. Right now. This is it. Without a doubt, I've said this before, that most parts are the best part of my life so far, simply because I wouldn't want to change my past experiences for anything. I enjoy who I am. I enjoy what I'm doing. And I think back to past times of my life, and there's things that, you know, I wish I could go back to. Certain aspects that I wish I could go back to, but God forbid, as much as I would, again, I've said this before, I would love to be back in my college days where I have the freedom to, and this is the worst, the freedom to play role-playing games all the goddamn time. Oh, you can't imagine how much I miss that. That's the one thing I miss from my youth. I mean, look, I don't miss dating. I don't miss drinking parties on the weekends in college. I don't miss any of that. That was all torturous in lots of ways. But the gaming, oh God, when we could game every week, twice a week, and for 6 hours at a stretch, and we would go crazy, and and it was mostly Dungeons and Dragons, but God, it was Shadowrun. We could play Car Wars. We could lay out anything. Oh, I missed that part. But even then, as much as I would love to have that freedom again to game like crazy, well, having that freedom means that I don't have this family. That's not a trade I'd be willing to make. Going back to that freedom means I don't have money again. I'm back to living like a hermit and worrying about how I'm going to pay rent and electricity every month. And oh yeah, by the way, I was really stupid back then. I mean, I thought I was smart. I thought I knew everything, but oh, I was so dumb. I was so dumb and naive and emotionally and socially awkward and ugh, no way I want to be that guy again. I mean, I had a great time while I was him, but I'm different now, and I like who I am now better. And so therefore, yeah, I may miss that aspect, just like, I miss a great trip, like the trip we took to Yellowstone, and we had a wonderful time as a family. It was an awesome, awesome trip, and lots of great things happened. And I miss that experience, and I can't wait until the next time we can have some sort of big family vacation to do something, you know, epic and exciting like that. But it's not like I want to live in Yellowstone 365 days a year. I don't want to. That's not even a valid comparison, is it? I thought, oh man, the metaphor was almost there in my head, and then when I said it out loud, yeah, doesn't quite connect. You know what? I'm going to skip my really, really failed poetry here and just move on. 95. 95 came up twice last week, too. If the dice weren't still flipping, I'd think there was something wrong here. Okay, it's from Ronster. Ronster says, if you had been given the chance of leaving a 2-minute message on the golden record that is aboard Voyager, what would you say? Oh my goodness. Oh, because I want to say something flippant like, I'd roll up a Podomatic and I'd do a 2-minute shtick on whatever you guys told me to talk about. But what would I put on? I don't know, because everything that they put on there is so, I don't know, so presumptuous and pretentious. And so, I mean, they put on the brain scan of a woman in love. That's that, which I don't think that's why they did it. They did a brain scan of one of their colleagues and the fact that she was newly in love with Carl Sagan at the time was just a side effect of it. But they put in a brain scan as if I don't know what they were thinking aliens are going to make of a brain. If we saw the equivalent of an alien's brain scan come back to us, we would have no clue, would we? Or maybe they would. I don't know. I think a lot of it was they were just throwing anything at the wall to see what sticks. Because when the aliens get our stuff, who knows what they're going to find? They did greetings from Earth in a zillion languages, which is okay. Yeah, it's, you know, culturally equitable, I suppose. But on the other hand, you know, if you're going to give them samples of 100 different languages, well, what are you expecting them to get out of that other than, oh, well, that's what happens when they move their mouth parts. It makes noises. All right, we get it. There's no way to translate that, which I get. Yeah, the spoken language is probably not what they were looking to be translated anyway. But I don't know. Was there more useful stuff they could have put on there? I don't know what I would do with my 2 minutes. I really don't. I really think I'd give them a sample of this podcast. I think I'd give them, you know, if it's just a message from me, I'm just going to do a 2 minute Nerd Pride Radio and put it out there. Cause this is, you know, when it comes to my spoken word, my messages, things I'm putting out there, this podcast is what I'm most proud of right now. And actually I think ultimately, you know, if I did a Podomatic to put on the golden record, it would be just as meaningful as almost everything else they've put in there. The images I think are better. You know, I don't think the noises that we make, you know, okay, putting on some music, opening up with some music, that was a good idea. All right, some music, some sounds of Earth, I get that. But to have so much language in there, you know what? I don't think the language is ever going to be meaningful to any aliens, if they ever find it. No one's ever going to find it. But even if they did, I don't think the language will be meaningful to them other than, again, oh, that's noises they make. All right, we get that. But then you could have done a much smaller sample of language, of voices, and done a much larger sample of the sounds of Earth and what Earth itself sounds like, and especially our music, because that's something that I don't know if other alien cultures, non-human species, I don't know if they would be able to hear or appreciate music, but I think there's a better chance of that than them hearing and appreciating our voices. So, for what it's worth. And I think more than the sounds, though, I think the pictures are what did it, because they could actually lay out digitally, they could lay out diagrams that could be interpreted, that, you know, you lay out, anyway, that people can translate our dots and dashes, they can translate it into an actual two-dimensional picture. And that's useful. All right, I can see that. Because then you can draw a diagram to, oh, here's Galactic Center, here's where we're located, here's an open invitation to come and eat us if you want to, whatever. All right, but anyway, enough about that. Sweet 85. 85 is... Let's go 3. 85 is from Kyle. Oh, okay. Kyle says, open Google, done and done. Whoops, hold on, but I gotta move off to the side so I can continue reading your question. Open Google and type in why is my into the search engine. Why is my? All right, I've done that. And read your most recent searches related to that and what Google suggests you search for. I don't have any recent searches that say why is my, but... what Google does suggest to me is, why is my eye twitching? Probably because you don't have enough sleep and or you have an irritant in there, you jackass. I understand you've not required me to answer the Google suggested questions, but I will. Why is my poop green? Probably from eating Crunchberry cereal. That's my guess. Why is my tongue white? Hungover? Sick? I don't know. And why is my hair falling out? Radiation. There you go. Did you have any more instructions for me? Nope. It just says read your most recent searches and what Google suggests you search for. Yeah, I love doing that, by the way. It's a good fun thing to try out. Why is my? All right. I like that one. 97. God, see, it keeps switching. Are the 9 and the 8 like right next to each other? Because we've done an 80 and a 90 and then 80 and a 90. But no. No, they're like, they're almost on completely opposite sides from each other. So it's flipping over. Just random chance. It's got to happen sometime, right? All right. That's actually one of the hallmarks of being a human being, is that when we see something that is truly random, we automatically look for patterns in it that will suggest to it, suggest to us that it is not random. And we'd be wrong, but it's why everyone thinks they know somebody with cursed dice. It's why everyone thinks they have good luck and bad luck on dice and that certain numbers are more likely. And so, because we look for patterns, we remember what we want to remember. But that's not the question. That's just me commenting on R2's dice roll. No, 97 is from Daz. Daz, who wrote a book, by the way. You should go buy it. Daz says, wait a minute. All right, he says, it starts off with cool and a period. Maybe, I don't know if I follow this, but all right, cool. If you had a time machine, how would you end the American Civil War before it got really messy? If I had a time machine, how would I end the American Civil War? Oh, all right. First off, I don't know that I could, because the factors of history are so large that, I mean, there's every possibility that my time machine is going to happen to land on exactly the wrong soldier when I show up. And by killing him, I've already changed all of history, and the Civil War either gets grotesquely worse or winds up resolving itself, and I have no idea what I did. Or alternately, I show up and no matter what I try, everything just goes the same way no matter what, because without being in the exact key position to know exactly what differences to make, one person isn't going to make a difference. You would need, even with all the hindsight of 150 years of research and study and reenactments and everything else about the Civil War, I don't know if I could find it. What I would try to do, I think, because if I found, it also depends. Look, if this is something that is planned, I have a time machine. I'm planning to go back to the Civil War and try and stop things, which is stupid because then I don't exist. All right. If I were to stop the Civil War, guaranteed none of the human beings alive today would be alive. It would completely change history and the Earth would be populated with an entirely new set of human beings. All right, so we would stop existing, and then we wouldn't be there to go back in time in the first place. And we'd create a paradox, which means we've only wound up creating an alternate universe, because if we still exist to go back there, we must have created an alternate universe, which means we haven't changed anything for ourselves. We've only changed things for those other people. And if we can even get back to our own timeline, which is highly doubtful at that point, I don't know how to hop across timelines. I can go back in time. I can go forward in time. But to hop across timelines sideways, I don't think I can do that. So, I mean, I've really just screwed myself really bad. But let's assume, all right, because if you've got planning, if you've got some planning and assuming that there's a way to do it, that you can actually change history and not somehow not destroy yourself, no, you can't do that. You can't. So what's my motivation? No, my motivation has to be that I've gone backwards in time accidentally. I didn't know I was going back there, or now that I am back there, there's no way for me to get back home. So I know that I am trapped in 1858 or 1861 or 18, I mean, is the Civil War started already? Am I there ahead of time? What does it say? How would you end the American Civil War before it got really messy? So actually, conceivably, I could go back to 20 years before or 50 years before. I don't know if it would help, because I mean, I could go back to Jefferson and lean on him to actually address goddamn slavery. In the beginning, I mean, they talked about slavery and then they decided to table it and leave it for future generations. You could try and lean on them and convince them that you're from the future and that you really need to address this now to save ourselves all this warfare in the future. And if they did that then, well, would the country have just fallen apart right at the beginning? You couldn't get the southern states on board? I don't know. Just thinking about it, it's going to make my head hurt. Because I think if I wound up in the Civil War, and I'm there by accident, I didn't have any planning, I don't have any backup, I don't have any research, the best I can do is go try and convince President Lincoln that I'm from the future and I have information that's relevant and here's what we need to do. And I wouldn't even know what here's what we need to do is. I just basically say that, okay, look, here's my half-remembered 8th grade history And I know that the war is really bad and a lot of people die, and you're going to have to do something about that. Well, what do we do, young man? I don't freaking know, young man. I'm probably, how old was Lincoln when he was elected? Seriously. How old was he when he died? Am I about Lincoln's age? He's not going to call me young man. That's stupid. But I would have to convince Lincoln that I'm really from the future and that I know stuff, but not in a lot of detail, because I might be smart, but I didn't pay attention in that class. But here's what I think happened. I don't know. There's something about Gettysburg. I can quote you the speech. I can quote. You haven't written that yet. Damn it! All right, just gave it away. I can't. I don't think I've got anything on this one. I would go back to the Civil War, and I would contract diphtheria, and I would die of horrifying diarrhea. That's what I would do, and I would never accomplish anything. Sweet 46. Thank God for getting me out of that. 46 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, I'm inspired by a recent episode. Why is my mouse not moving? Son of a bucket. Oh, no. My keys move. My arrows move. My mouse does nothing. Oh, this is bad. I hope that unlocks. Oh, I hope I didn't accidentally disable my mouse. Where's that mouse disable button? Is it that one? Let's see. It was the mouse disable button. Why would I even have that button? Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, whew, crisis averted. Kyle says, I'm inspired by a recent episode of The Office and was wondering, do you think less of people that believe in ghosts? What about people that believe in UFOs? What about people that believe in Anne Rice-like vampires? All right, it keeps going on. All right, do I think less of people who believe in ghosts? Not particularly. I don't believe in ghosts. I understand what leads people to believe in ghosts. I get it. And while I think they're completely off their nut, in general, maybe a tiny bit. Maybe just a tiny bit. So if you're a listener who believes in ghosts, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think you got to get over that. Seriously. But hey, you know what? I understand why I understand how the human mind works a little bit. And I get it. Okay. I get why you would believe in ghosts. That's fine. I have lots of friends who believe in ghosts. Not lots, but a significant number. And that's fine. What about people who believe in UFOs? Well, okay, that one's a little more out there, but again, I understand there is a lot of evidence out there that tries to point towards the existence of UFOs and aliens. Well, to be perfectly correct, UFO by its own definition, UFOs have to exist. They are, by definition, unidentified flying objects. What you're speaking about is, are we receiving alien visitors from other planets? All right. Whole point is, do people who believe in aliens coming to visit us, again, there's this huge industry out there that wants to make people believe that, because there's lots of people who do believe it, and they, like any good conspiracy theory, they seek out the information that supports their point of view, and they make a huge industry out of pushing that on others and showing this selective evidence that has been repeated and twisted over years and years and years of use. And, okay, if people want to believe in UFOs, again, I understand it. That one's a little bit harder for me. It's somehow UFOs is harder for me to accept than people who believe in ghosts. I don't know. Weird. But again, I can get by on that one. All right. But, people who believe in Anne Rice-like vampires. All right. Look, now you're just a nutcase. No, if you actually truly believe that vampires exist, no, you're a nut. I definitely think less of you. And if you think that there are any way like the Anne Rice vampires or the Twilight vampires, or Dracula, if you think that vampires are anything like those, then you're really a nut, because what you're doing is you're taking a piece of purely invented fiction, admittedly purely invented fiction, written by people who admit that they're just making up a fiction story based on some vague elements of old legends. And they've made up this pure fiction, and you're choosing to believe that it's real? No, you're a nut. That's absolutely crazy. That's out of your mind crazy. That's blatantly choosing to ignore reality. If you wanted to believe in the kind of vampires the ancient Revenant-style zombie-like vampires that crawl out of their grave, feed on the blood or flesh of the living, and then crawl back into the ground. But there's a long history of believing in zombie-like vampires. Okay, and in fact, if you ever saw the original vampires from legend, the way they were traditionally described, then for the most part, you would just assume that those were zombies. Those are zombies. Clearly, they're zombies. All right. If you want to believe in those, at least you've got this long history of magical legend to build on. That, well, they may not exist now, but look, at some time in the past, there's all these legends from all these different cultures across the globe. There's no way that's a coincidence. Well, yeah, it kind of is, but okay, at least there's a little bit more credence to that. But you want to believe in Lestat? No, you are deluding yourself because you think it's cool. That's on you, man. Wait! He had one more question that went with that. Oh, God! I missed the punchline! Sorry, R2, you'll have to wait. Oh, fudge. Ghosts? UFOs? And rice-like vampires? What about people who believe it's possible to construct an equitable tax law? Oh, the dreamers, the idealists. Oh, of course. Look, no, I have no qualms about that. Everyone's got to be 19 at some point. That's fine. All right. Anyway, the next number is 99. 99, right down at the bottom of the list. 99 is from a Ronster. And Ron says, if the internet did not exist, do you think role-playing games would be extinct? No. No, in fact, I think the proliferation of the internet has actually, it's been a boon and a hindrance to video games, role-playing games in a lot of ways, because the internet makes it a lot easier. Like, all right, for example, go play solitaire with a deck of cards. I used to play solitaire with cards all the time. I loved playing solitaire with cards. It was awesome. And then came solitaire on the computer. And suddenly, I can zip through a solitaire game on my computer, and I don't play solitaire on the computer anymore, but I used to. And when I did, I got to where it was a speed thing for me. I could solve a game of solitaire, traditional Klondike solitaire. I could solve a hand of solitaire in 110 seconds. I think I got down 97 seconds was my record. Okay. That's how quickly you could move through it. And I mean, it was boom, 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 challenge after challenge, go, go, go. Now, to actually lay out all those cards by hand, it's tedious. I can't do it. I cannot play with cards because why would I? All right. Some of that effect comes into role-playing games. All right. If you want a role-playing game that simulates a lot of this really fantastic, awesome sword and sorcery action that you get in D&D, but you can also get from video games that do D&D stuff, the video games do all those calculations for you. Suddenly, a battle that, you know, with your map and your minis and your dice and your paper, this battle could take you 2 hours to play out. I've had Shadowrun battles, gunfights that took us 3 hours, 3.5 maybe. I mean, It's a tactical war game at that point. And it's all the kind of stuff that a computer could have played that out in 30 seconds. All right. And you get all that excitement and action of the battle and you get it done. And then you get to move on with the plot. And then lots more stuff can happen in a video game using a computer. And so therefore, it actually hurts pen and paper games in a lot of ways because you have to adjust to a completely different mindset. There's a level of instant gratification that comes from video games that you're not going to get that same type of feedback when you're doing it pen and paper style. But on the other hand, the internet has allowed people to connect. And certainly for me, in my experience, if I didn't have the internet and Roll20, I wouldn't be playing role-playing games at all because I mean, I would now because of my kids, but I wouldn't have the Pathfinder group I have now. I wouldn't have met all of you guys online. I wouldn't have played. How many games have we played on the forums? Have we played on Roll20? Have we played on other online platforms or just using plain old chat functions? Or there's a lot of gaming I've done online. And so to me, yeah, oh, the email paranoia games. There's been so much that it has done for me that I don't think role-playing games would have died out, because before the internet is when they were invented. The being born out of tactical wargaming originally and then building up into Dungeons and Dragons. And I played for, 15 years, 20 years of role-playing before I finally got the internet. So, I mean, about 15 years of role-playing before the internet became a really big factor in it. And had a great time and never gave it up. But certainly once I got married and moved away and all this other stuff, had kids and other obligations and a real job and all that, yeah, my time started to cut back. And I wound up not playing for years because of that. Even with some online people, I still only played maybe once a year. It didn't happen often enough. And now I get to game a lot if I want to. And so I guess, anyway, no, I don't think it would have died out, because role-playing games were doing just fine before the internet. And the resurgence of Dungeons & Dragons with D&D 3 and D&D 3.5 and the Open Gaming License and everything that went with it, that resurgence happened without the internet being a gigantic factor in it. The internet was there, but that research, it took Wizards of the Coast how long to finally start getting online components to their material, getting online places that could reliably provide information for you and could allow you to play online. And they've still never successfully gotten that. It's been up to third parties to make the online playing platforms for us. So that resurgence happened without, the communication's a big thing, but I think that resurgence would have happened regardless. So it's got good and it's got bad. Did I answer your question? Move on. All right. 76. 76 is not on the screen. How did I miss it? There it is. 76 is from Daz again. All right. Daz says, what color of dragon needs to be in D&D but isn't? This question sounds amazingly familiar, and I'm probably going to give a different answer than I did last time. But what color of dragon hasn't been done? Honestly? I mean, look, you've got your standard chromatic dragons, and you're like, oh, all right, well, that's great, but what happened to purple and yellow? What happened to orange? Why is there no orange dragon? Who decided we had to leave those colors out? Okay, well, except that they do have those. If you look at the supplemental material, you'll find purple, orange, and yellow dragons all available. In fact, God, I think what is yellow dragons, at least the version I saw, they breathe some sort of corrosive salt as their breath weapon. I can't even remember for sure. And so those colors have been out there. And then all of the metals have been done. And then, I mean, we went from gray dragons and steel dragons and smoke dragons. Is smoke even a color, or is that just a consistency? I don't know what, I can't imagine what color is possibly missing. I mean, pink dragon? Or is that just us being silly? You know? Wait a minute. You know what would be cool? What if we did, I was joking about pink dragon, but what if we did a pink dragon? I'm like, okay, well, why? What, pink? Seriously, why? Well, what if, quite literally, you get a pink dragon by mixing a red dragon with a white dragon. All right? A fire dragon with an ice dragon. What's the result? I don't know yet, but I am going to have to create it, because that is awesome. Oh, God, you know what else is awesome? This is... Hold on. I need to get out my handy-dandy pocket mod right this moment, and I need to write down a couple of things. So you guys will just have to sit by while I do this, because I cannot forget these things. Okay, first off, pink dragon, there we go, and vampire cage. All right, for some reason, last few days, and this happens to me all the time, but in the last few days, it's happened a lot, and I keep forgetting my good ideas because I don't bother to put them in my handy-dandy pocket mod, because if I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast, well, why would I write it down? Like I say, I got to start making separate lists for this. But here's the deal. In addition to Pink Dragon, which I think is a great idea and I should develop, the other day, Yancey is showing me something off the internet, a list of odd gravestones from around the world. And one of them is a grave with a cage over the top. All right, so you've got literally, you've got, you can see there's the burial plot, and they've got the big stone slab set into the ground with all the information on it. And why not a full headstone? Well, you didn't have room for a headstone because they had to put a cage over the top of it. There's a big iron cage that covers the entire top. So right where the coffin is, there's a cage cemented into the ground that, like the cage itself, if the coffin was lifted up out of the ground, the cage would be just big enough to hold the coffin inside of it. All right, big old wrought iron cage. And why is that cage there? Just in case the person rises from the grave as a zombie or vampire or ghoul, they'll be trapped. What a brilliant idea. Then I thought, okay, while that's silly for a real-world item, I play Pathfinder, and in Pathfinder, people rising from their graves in the middle of the night to come wreak havoc as undead upon the hapless villagers is a common occurrence. What about a graveyard that has half the graves have cages over the top of them, that we bury our loved ones, and then we put a damn cage over the top? So just in case they rise from the dead, at least they're trapped, and then we can come by the next morning and just shoot them. You know, whatever. I mean, how freakish to come stumbling through a graveyard, a cemetery, in the middle of the night with your party. You're on whatever quest, it doesn't make any difference. And as you're coming through, there's like four cages in this graveyard, four cages with actual ghouls in them that are obviously, and their ghouls are just intelligent enough to talk to you and yell at you and scream about their predicament and beg to be let out because they need to feed on your flesh. And oh, it, again, not dangerous, because you know what? It's ghouls in the cage. Just go pick them off. And it gives you a warning that, hey, there's ghouls around. And B, it's creepy as hell. Oh God, would that not freak you out? Honestly? Would that not be the scariest thing? So I just wrote down vampire cage or ghoul cage. I would use it for ghouls, I think. But anyway, I just wrote down ghoul cage because my kids don't listen to this podcast often enough. And they're never going to see this one coming. This is going to be awesome. Which is, why don't they listen to it? I've been, you know, we used to listen to every episode together. And now lately, oh, it's because I don't drive them most places. They ride to school with their mom. So we don't get as much time for, because it's usually car listening is when we do podcasts. Anyway, I'll have to rectify that. But not for this episode, because I don't want to give this one away. This one's great. 67. 67 is from Humongous. Hey, Humongous. Humongous says, do you collect minis for gaming, or do you use something else, like markers, paper stand-ups, etc.? Oh. First off, I have a bunch of minis, and I have some of the original ones from when I was 12 and 13 years old. Actually, they were probably from when I was 14 or 15, when we lived in the big house. And I have some from then. So this is either 30-year-old miniatures that I painted myself or that my brother painted, and I still love them, and I still use them on a regular basis. I have buckets and buckets and buckets of HeroScape figures that we don't play HeroScape as often anymore, that the shine kind of wore off of that one, but the figures that come out of a HeroScape set are spectacular. I mean, they're most of them are really good constructions, and the coloring is good on them, and they're all sorts of sci-fi and fantastical figures, and so I've got buckets of those, and we use those a lot, but most often anymore, I just started making some paper stand-ups that I found a quick template, and I just started pasting in pictures. And so, you know, most of them, it's just a picture of a face even. It's not even a real stand-up. Although some of them are full figures. Some of them are just faces. Some are whatever. And I've got a ton of them. So I knew that they were going to come across a band of goblins. So I printed up like 30 different goblins just so I would have more than enough goblins to throw out there. And they just, you know, real basic stand-up. You fold it into a triangle shape and you tape the base together. Boom, you're done. You got figures. And they fit perfectly onto my map. And the only complaint I've had about them, because I've got them posted somewhere in the gaming forum, in Nerds Playing Games or Nerds Talking About Games, I posted up links to the the templates I have for some of the ones I've made up. I've made up like 4 or 5 sheets, and they're really cool and a lot of fun. And the only complaint I've had is that I didn't differentiate front from back, so there is no facing on them, which I should probably fix. I should probably put like a little arrow that shows up on all of them at the top of one side, so you know which way they're facing. But I use them for Pathfinder, and in Pathfinder, facing is not usually relevant in combat. When you're talking about flanking, it's not whether you're behind the person or not. It's usually whether you've got, you know, an ally on the opposite side, and then you're flanking. So facing is not really relevant in the game I'm playing most of the time. So I didn't bother, but I probably should. So that's what I use most often. But I have tons and tons and tons of figures and paper markers and the paper stand-ups I've made. And I mean, I even went back to the old Melee game from Steve Jackson Games. I went back to Melee, found a copy of their figures online and printed up their figures on cardstock, and then just cut them out, not because they're particularly great, but because they're so nostalgic for me. I love those old Melee figures. They're really cool. So I used a bunch of those. I've got tons of them. I've got ones that came out of the Dragon magazines back when Paizo was publishing for D&D 3.5. So I've got a bunch of the pullout pages from the Dragon magazines that have, you know, they're just little counters to lay down on the map, but they're full color and beautifully painted and all that. So I got lots of stuff, but the paper stand-ups are my favorite right now. Number 70. That's my favorite noise. Number 70 is from Zimny. How are we doing on time? I can't even see my recording. God, we might not even be recording right now. That would be horrifying. Oh, all right. We're getting close to the end. This is good. All right. Number 70 from Zimny. Zimny says, what fictional weapon that is not a lightsaber would you most like to be trained with? Why do you guys always exclude the most popular option? Why do you tell me I can't have a lightsaber? Of course I want a lightsaber. Okay, what's not a lightsaber that's a fictional weapon? This is similar to Darks's question about the Fred Saberhagen books and the Swords of Power. Okay, but this one's a little different because it's a fictional weapon. It doesn't have to be an artifact necessarily. So, fictional weapon. I would go with... My mind wants to say Bot'leth just because it's the first fictional weapon I think of, but I personally think the Bot'leth looks really stupid and I wouldn't want to be trained in that. Do I want laser pistols? Do I want Han Solo's blaster? I want a mech suit. I want a mech suit. That's what I want. Yeah. I want to be trained in that sucker. Even if I don't own it, the fact that I am trained in it means I've gotten to walk around in that puppy. I want a mech suit. I will crush you. 53. 53 is going to be our last one. And that one comes from, it's from DM Darks. Hey, Dungeon Master. Dungeon Master Dark says, can a ghost and a zombie come from the same person? Yes, absolutely. And only because the zombie is mindless. Your soul is already gone and doesn't inhabit the zombie. In D&D terms, certainly. Pathfinder terms, yes. But even in real life, because you can be a ghost and your body is still laying there. We've seen that plenty of times where... you see the ghost that's been terrorizing whoever our protagonists are, and then eventually, for some of these stories, part of the solution is going back and finding the original body and doing something with it. You know, moving it to the proper ground or moving it to, you know, what was the one recently where they had to hurt the? It was a little girl and her lips had been sewn shut, and they had to go. They had to go cut it. Oh, Ouija. That's, oh my God. I shouldn't have given that away. I'm sure you guys all want to go see Ouija, or Ouija, or however you want to pronounce it, but I think it's Ouija. And my son and I just saw it. And by the way, if you want to see a horrible, horrible horror movie that is just entertaining as all get out and fun to see with someone who enjoys bad horror movies as much as you do, go see Ouija. The scares were good. I mean, it had good setting, good tension. It was appropriately creepy. I thought the pacing was good. It did really well for all of that. Where it fell down was the story. The plot was so nonsensical, so ludicrous that, oh my God, everything that happened in that movie, every single thing that happened, happened conveniently at the exact right time to make the plot move forward. I mean, it was just, it was ludicrous. It was to find the, oh, hey, look, before she died, she made a videotape of herself doing the exact thing that ultimately got her killed. And as she's doing it, she explains it so that we all understand the, oh, but even though we've had this video in our possession the entire thing, we didn't recognize it for what it was until the exact moment that it's too late for us to get away, but just in time to give us the tools we need to solve this. Stupid. Oh, wait, there's something we don't understand about ghosts and spirits? Well, thank God every old woman in the world happens to be an expert on ghosts. Jesus, really? Oh, stupid. But we had so much fun watching it. It was great. But what was the point? Oh, but anyway, yeah, the ghosts running around and the body is still there. Well, if you want to make a zombie, all you need is a dead body. The spirit's already gone. The soul's moved on to heaven or done whatever it's going to do. And yes, and would, oh, see, all right, hold on. Another great idea. Wouldn't it be cool in a Pathfinder game to have a ghost haunting its own zombie? Oh, I'm so in love with this. All right, hold on. Ghost zombie. And since I've already got the ghoul cages in the cemetery, that's a great lead up to set the tone for the kind of game I want to run that would also have a ghost zombie in it. So yes, yeah. Look, the ghost can be there as the spirit of the departed, and then the ghost doesn't need the body anymore. Certainly you can go over and animate that zombie, animate the body and make it into a zombie. I have no problem with that. And again, look, it depends on your mythology. You could certainly say that reanimating the body then breaks whatever connection the ghost had to the spirit world, and now the ghost has to depart, so no, you can't have a ghost and a zombie out of the same person at the same time. You could say that, but then it wouldn't be nearly as much fun, would it? So I say absolutely yes, and not just absolutely yes, but by God, it's on my pocket mod. I'm going to use it in a game. That's how good that is. That was the last one, Dark. So way to finish for me, man. That was awesome. Strong. We turn to GLaDOS, and we wait for a recap.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week is that book song from They Might Be Giants. I still haven't added it in here. Darn it. Did I use any others? Movies, music, science, history, gaming? No, I didn't. It was just the book one. Anyway, it's that book song from They Might Be Giants. It's on iTunes. Check it out, buy it, enjoy it, love it. Okay, anyway, if you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Bring them into the fold. That's what we want. Don't forget to check out all the free games I have available on my free games page. There's Instant Game, there's Animal Ball Melee, there's Sandbox Hill, there's 2/3 of a dozen others, all free all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com. I promise I will actually respond to you. Or find me on Twitter, the Twitters, where my handle is @NerdPrideRadio, or even check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be totally honest, the best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/forums. You sign up there, send me a message, we'll hang out together, we'll be best friends in the world, we'll have fun. Welcome to Listener Betrayal. This is the after show where I'm sorry, I'm reading ahead and I need to stop doing that. before I start recording every podcast, I put out a note on my forums that say, hey, I'm recording a podcast. Is there anything that you want to add? And then after the show, I shut down that thread and I read whatever anybody's given to me. So the only response in there now is from my brother Kyle. And it says, I think it's insulting that you won't use Mrs. Darks' name for the after show and are resorting to calling it The Betrayal. I know I proposed a different name, and then you kind of just took a giant shit on her shoulder and said, I know I said she named it in time, but... Oh, look at you. All right, fine. Fine. Is that what you want? I know I said she named it in time, but fuck her. Fuck Mrs. Darks. I fucking hate that name. Shame on you, Michael. Shame on you. Okay, well, guess what, dude? It was Ronster. It wasn't Mrs. Darks. It was Ronster. You don't know what you're talking about. At this point, it's completely okay to shit on Ronster, right? Yeah, see? There you go. So you have no point. All right. God, you know what? I wish if I had had that read in time, I could have had an answer prepared that would have been essentially the same answer, but way smoother. So imagine that I read his, that I actually practiced this a little bit, and I actually read his off without all the stumbling and hesitating in the middle, and then imagine that my response was super smooth and super cool, and I just zinged him. I totally got him. Yeah, I made him look like an idiot. That's what I did. So just imagine that that happened. You know what? Should I try it again? Should I try it one more time? Yeah, we'll try it one more time. Hold on. I'll leave in all the swear words and everything. I'm not going to bleep nothing this time because he's making it tough for me, and this is after the credits. Nobody listens to this anyway. Let's try one more time. So this is the part of the show where I go in, I see what the list is, blah, 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 blah. All right, ready? I think it's insulting that you won't use Mrs. Darks' name for the after show and are resorting to calling it The Betrayal. I know I proposed a different name, but then you just kind of took a giant shit on her shoulder and said, I know I said she named it in time, but fuck her. Fuck Mrs. Darks. I fucking hate that name. Shame on you, Michael. Shame on you. Oh, yeah? Will you eat poop? Say goodnight, R2. Poop eater.